Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This story was first published on March 28th of 2010, under the headline, Central Oregon's Legendary Crystal Cave. Is it real? Here we go. Somewhere in the high desert of south central Oregon, there may or may not be a massive cave lined with big quartz crystals worth millions of dollars. People have been hunting for it for more than 100 years now, but they may have been looking in the wrong place or chasing a will-o'-the-wisp. The story of the Crystal Cave is one of those tales that can be safely called a legend. The fact is, after passing through the hands of half a dozen authors, several of whom seem to have added little touches, such as made-up dialogue, to increase its appeal, it's really hard to know exactly what part of it is real. Here's the basic story. Sometime between 1896 and 1904, a group of cowboys stopped to camp for the night somewhere between Burns and Lapine and stumbled onto the entrance to the cave. After collecting a few samples, they continued to Bend, where they started telling people about what they'd found. This is where the stories diverge. One version, given a boost in a 1946 article by Phil Brogan in the Portland Oregonian, says the cowboy's story came to the attention of a shopkeeper named Nick Smith, who went out to follow the trail of the cattle drive. In this version of the story, the cowboys were on a cattle drive. Smith found the cave, Brogan reported, but was forced to head for home when the weather turned ugly. He went back the following spring, but over the winter the landscape had changed enough to foil his effort, and he spent the following 20 years trying to find his way back to the cave. Well, all right, but this account does raise some questions. First, why would a man on a horse, a day's ride from the nearest town, leave the shelter of a cave when a snowstorm threatened? And secondly, how likely is it that he and all those cowboys would, every one of them, be unable to even identify an approximate location, accurate to a square mile or two? The weather might change the landscape over a harsh winter, but trees and mountains and rocky outcroppings, you know, those don't generally move about. The other account is also problematic. It's from the son-in-law of Newt Cobb, one of the cowboys who found the cave. Cobb said he and his colleagues were shearing sheep, not driving cattle, and were traveling between Milliken and what's now Sun River. This story doesn't mention Smith, who presumably became interested in the story later. Well, the problem with this account is geological. The terrain between Milliken and Sun River is simply not old enough to have grown crystals like the sample bits the cowboys brought back from the cave. So either the samples are fake or the story is fake, and it's geology, if nothing else. The mystery may eventually solve itself, though. As historian Melanie Tupper points out, when the weather changes, cave entrances often give off visible plumes of condensation, so it's not unlikely that someone will see such a plume and follow it back to the entrance. Of course, it's also not impossible that the entrance has been somehow closed off by an earthquake or an eroding rock and will never be found. In the end, what we're left with is another delicious Oregon mystery, like the Lost Blue Bucket Mine or the location of Sir Francis Drake's Nova Albion. Someday maybe we'll swap that mystery for a chance to see the real Crystal Cave after somebody finally finds it. But you have to wonder, would that really be a good trade? By the way, there's an excellent analysis of the conflicting Crystal Cave stories in Tupper's book, which in any case should be required reading for anyone interested in South Central Oregon history. And that's the story, but then I have an afterword to go with it. You see, after this article was published in the Redmond Spokesman, I got a phone call from a gentleman from Pendleton who sounded about 40 years older than me. He quizzed me pretty closely about what I knew about the Crystal Cave and where I thought it was, and then, with a little chuckle, he told me that the cave was nowhere near the places this article talks about. In fact, it was not south of Bend, but northeast, about 150 miles out of town. I could tell by this time in the conversation that if I asked him for any more details about the location of this cave, my answer would be a good-natured chuckle. But I tried it anyway, in a sort of oblique way. He told me quite clearly that he was not going to spill the beans. This gentleman said he actually has been there, and he did not sound like the kind of fellow who's got nothing better to do than make long-distance phone calls to lie to guys like me, so I believe him. So if you're thinking maybe this might all be a myth, I'm pretty sure you're wrong. Key sources in this story have included works by Melanie Tupper and Patty D. Wood. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you're listening to is one of roughly 300 newspaper columns published between 2008 and today. Since 2008, Offbeat Oregon has grown to include a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a fleet of Pinterest boards, a ton of great historic photos, and a bunch of other stuff that you can explore by mousing over the little row of square badges that you can find at the top of our hub page, which is at offbeatoregon.com. Visuals that go with today's show will also be found at offbeatoregon.com. You'll also find full citations to the sources for all of the stories there. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. See offbeatoregon.com/CC for the deets. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Email me, finn@offbeatoregon.com, or ping me on Twitter @offbeatoregon. And also, if you're going to be in town near Oregon State University with time for a cup of coffee, do let me know. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.